And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. I'm your host, Jen, and I'm very excited to talk about today's episode. But before we begin, there will be spoilers as we talk about major events that unfold within the story. In addition, each episode will have a list of trigger warnings in the description. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at The Book Stop Podcast and show your support on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. And today we are joined with the one and only truly amazing Camille.
Hi! Happy to be here again.
You are back.
It's
been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
We totally didn't look up how long it's been.
It's been like almost a year, but it's fine.
And you're back and that's all that matters.
Yay!
All right, what book did you bring for us to talk about, and why did you bring this book?
Yeah, so I brought Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn, and I brought this book because I saw the movie when it first came out, and I like the psychological thrillers or whatnot, and I thought this would be a good twist from things that I've read in the past, so yeah, that's why I brought it.
Heck yeah. I actually started watching the movie, because I'd never seen it before, I started watching the movie on Friday. I didn't end up finishing it because it is a long movie. It's like 2.5 hours long. But I will say, like, we won't talk about the movie probably at all, but I will say they did pretty good on the movie.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I feel like it's pretty true to the book, so.
I know that Gillian actually wrote the screenplay for it, so that probably helped a lot.
Yeah, that's cool.
But a lot of the details are really well done, and I don't love the actors that played them.
I agree, yeah.
But will say the one thing I didn't like about it is that if you watch it closely, their audio, like this, their talking, doesn't match up with their mouths. Mm-hmm. And that really bothered me. And
that bothers me all the time.
Why was that a choice that was made?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But we're here to talk about the book. We are going to play a little game to get us started.
Oh, gosh.
You are going to summarize this book in 30 seconds. Just try your best, and you may begin whenever you're ready.
Okay, so this book is about a married couple, and the wife mysteriously disappears, and the husband gets accused for her murder, but that ends up not being the case. I don't want to give it all away, so yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's, you know, it honestly, in a nutshell, definitely sums it up. I'm going to summarize it for anybody who hasn't heard of this book or has seen the movie. Former New York-based writer Nick Dunn and his glamorous wife Amy presents a portrait of a blissful marriage to the public. However, when Amy goes missing on the couple's 5th wedding anniversary, Nick becomes prime suspect in her disappearance. The resulting police pressure and the media frenzy causes the Dunn's image of a happy union to crumble, leading to tantalizing questions about who Nick and Amy truly are.
Dun dun
dun dun dun dun. Yeah, so let's just hop right into it. What is your favorite quote from this book?
Yeah, so my favorite quote, so it's, there's something disturbing about recalling a warm memory and feeling utterly cold. And I like this quote because I feel like it describes their just whole dynamic very well. Because I feel like in the beginning, obviously, they did have a lot of good memories with each other. And then, you know, things got rocky and a lot of things went down. And now, like, looking back on those memories, they probably were like, how did we get to this point from that, you know? And so I just thought it was a really good quote to kind of summarize their whole relationship, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that is an excellent quote, too. Mm-hmm. Especially at the end of the book, as we'll discuss throughout the podcast, how even the memories, as the time goes on, he starts seeing it from a different angle, and he is like, okay, hold on a second, there's more here than what meets the eye.
Yep.
So that's a great quote. I have a couple quotes. So one of my quotes is, he is learning to love me unconditionally under all my conditions, which is said obviously by Amy. And it's just, oh, God, it's so twisted how she thinks.
Yep.
And having that be pretty much like the ending of the book is like, you know, he is starting to love me the way I want to be loved, mm-hmm. even though that isn't how he truly feels. I'm just, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so like messed up, but that it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one's, I like this one too, but there's a difference between really loving someone and loving the idea of her. Again, like, I think maybe before he may have truly loved his wife, but then I think later, as time goes on, he realizes it was just the idea of who he thought she was when that was clearly not the case. So,
yeah, it's hard because she lied the entire time. Yeah, so he doesn't even really have an idea of
exactly.
her. It's more of just the idea of a wife than Amy being that wife.
Mm-hmm.
So the last one I had was, this is from Nick, and he said, I needed other people to back me up, that my wife wasn't amazing, Amy, but Avenging Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'll read that book. I read that series. The Adventure of the Avenging Amy.
I would too. Honestly, it sounds great.
But yeah, I just really like that because it shows that Nick has finally accepted that his wife is not his wife anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And probably never was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good. I'm excited. Also, obviously, if you haven't been to the bookstop before, we're going to spoil pretty much the entire book. So, obviously, if you haven't read it and you want to, don't read this because you really have to go into this book without a single idea what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that this is a book that you could read twice. The second time, it's a completely different book to you.
Oh, yeah. There's probably a lot you missed the first time around because there's just so much. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one to read twice, I feel like.
Yeah. So if you want to read it, don't listen to the podcast. Come back after you read it. But yeah. So what are some things that you liked about this book?
The main thing I liked was, one, having perspectives from both Nick and Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I really liked having flashbacks from Amy's perspective, because I think that showed kind of their beginning of the relationship and, I mean, what you thought it was, but, and then how it goes to current day and Nick's perspective and, like, when she goes missing, and then later it flips to when she, like, on her side, when she goes missing and then things she's dealing with and whatnot. So I thought it was really cool having those different perspectives at different, like, points in time, I guess, in the story.
I really like that as well. I like that it's Amy's diary, not necessarily Amy's point of view in the first half of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to really fall for her traps as much as Nick is. And we get to learn it from the past where Nick is in the present. So we get to see some interesting stuff. I have some missed opportunities in that aspect, but we won't get to it right now.
Yeah, and I just like the twist, too. Like you said, how we kind of fall for who we thought she was in the beginning, and then it turns out, like, oh, that was pretty much all a lie and stuff, but we don't really find that out till towards the end of the book. I just like books with that, with, like, those twists and turns, too, so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of my likes is, again, I really liked the Amy's diary, because she could have easily just done Nick's point of view the whole time, and we get to watch him fall for Amy's traps the whole time and not understand anything about it. But I think having Amy's diary in there really ups the stakes a lot, especially when she starts lying about a lot of stuff. We as readers are forced to believe her because we don't have any other perspective, but also it's like the typical, the husband did it, and that's what we're supposed to expect from this book. So then we obviously have our guard down and we just go, yep, he did it. I really liked the way that the way that the marriage unraveled and the mystery unraveled with it. How you get to see all those blind spots and all those, you know, hidden in the shadow moments. Again, I like that. I think you need to read this book twice to pick up everything, and it's one of those books that it will change your perspective on it the second, third time you read it. Also, really like the audiobook. I loved that we have a man and a woman. It's very rare that you get both perspective in those ways. So, huge shout out to Julia Wellen and Kirby Hayborn. They're the people that did it. They did very well.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna say better than the actors did.
Yeah, I would second that for sure.
Yeah. And then the last thing I really liked was Amy getting the last word. It just shows how unstable she still is.
Yep.
And that she will never change.
Yeah.
Like, she literally is like, I just wanted this to get the last word. And I was like, okay,
great. All right, you do you, girl.
All right. So what are some things that you didn't like about this book?
So the biggest thing I can think of is the ending. With her getting pregnant, he's just like, okay, well, I'm stuck, and, like, I don't want, you know, my child to fall for her traps or whatever, like, mm-hmm. I did, so I'm just gonna be stuck in this relationship, and I don't know, I just wish he would have been stronger, like, yeah. escaped or something from her psychopath ways, but...
I mean, he did say that, like, he couldn't leave because, yeah. one, he's like, no one else will ever see anybody else as much as I see Amy. But, I don't know, he tried to explain it away, but I just was, like, not here for it.
But I think he said something like, no one else is gonna be able to get to her like I can, or something yeah. like that. Because
they,
like,
kind of complete each other.
Yeah,
in a
yeah.
weird way.
It's very, yeah, very weird and twisted. But, yeah, so that was the biggest thing I didn't like. And also, I feel like some things were drawn out more than they needed to be. Mm-hmm. Which made the book a lot longer, so it took a while to get through. So that was probably the second biggest thing where I was like, yeah, I feel like things could have been, like, cut down a little bit, I guess. So
yeah.
Those are my two biggest, I would say.
Okay. No, I definitely agree with the second point, because it felt very repetitive after a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, get a clue, then he was sad. And then mm-hmm. get a clue, and then he was sad. Mm-hmm. And then get a clue, and then he was sad.
Yep.
And I totally get it. He was grieving. You know, we have to have clues. But I feel like they could have spiced it up a little bit more. It was just very repetitive. Mm-hmm. At least in the first half.
Yeah.
So you know Go, right?
Yeah.
His sister? His yeah. twin sister.
Yeah.
His twin sister. Go's and Nick's relationship. How the author emphasized that they weren't sleeping together. And, like, in a relationship with each other, I didn't like that.
Yeah,
I
feel it
like
was it, weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
I feel like it totally could have been not mentioned at all.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would have been like, oh, they're, you know. She goes out of her way to be like, people thought in high school that we were twincest and
yeah.
stuff. I just want to go out and say right now, we're not in a relationship. We've never thought about sleeping with each other. And I was like, that thought didn't even cross my mind.
Right.
Why yeah, are you like, bringing it up?
That's just very close. And I feel like twins are usually close. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird. I agree.
Yeah. And then later on, Nick, he makes a mention of kissing her on the cheek, and it made it a whole thing. And I was like, you know, you can just show your brotherly display of affection without making a whole weird thing.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
I don't know. It made me weirded out, and I didn't love it.
Maybe
so.
It was just because of their weird family dynamic where she thought that would be interesting. I don't know, but
yeah.
I agree. It was very strange.
Yeah, I'm glad that it didn't go any farther than that.
Yeah.
We didn't emphasize anything.
Oh my gosh,
else.
Right. Yeah.
Back with the repetitive, I found it a little bit, with the length of the book too,
mm-hmm.
It was just kind of boring in
mm-hmm.
some places. I was finding myself drawing out of the story because I was like, there's no importance to these scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one that comes to mind is the fishing scene with Jeff and
yes.
Amy.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's to highlight that he's a thief. So that way, when he steals her money later, it explains it away.
Right.
I don't think we needed it.
No, I agree.
I think it would have made more sense to show that Jeff stealing her money was just to show that even nice guys are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to highlight the fact that he was also a thief in the catfishing scene.
Right.
And that went on for pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think we could stop.
Yeah, I think it was like a 10 or 15 minute thing in the audiobook.
Okay. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of places where she was almost kind of like burying the lead, where she wanted you to believe something was important, but in the end, it just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I didn't pick up on it, and I need to read it again.
No, I would agree. I think there are some things, yeah, I was, why is this included, I guess?
Yeah.
So.
I don't think anything in the book really surprised me. It caught me off guard in some places, like Amy's diary being all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised about that, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, she got me. But nothing really stuck out and left an impression on me that I was like, wow, this was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine, but I think, again, that has to do with, like, the length. It was just a little too long.
I don't want to say it was, like, predictable, but I feel like it kind of was.
That's a good word for it, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess it's harder for me too because I saw the movie before, so I kind of knew what was
going on.
I had forgotten a lot of things, but yeah, I feel like there could have been like a bigger twist included that was like super super mind-blowing or something.
Yeah, but a lot of it has to do with Nick's point of view, which we'll talk about in a second. The last thing is I did not like Nick. I didn't really care if he did it or not. Obviously with his point of view we knew he didn't, and I just never really trusted him. And I totally get that's the point, is, like, you're not supposed to trust him.
Right.
Because you want to think that he did it. But with it leading in his point of view, we knew that he did it. So it was, like, a weird constant battle I was having with myself. Because I was, like, I don't know what to feel right now.
Yeah. It was very... He had, like, no emotions, I feel like.
Yeah.
Even with all that going on, I don't know, I was like, give me, like, a mental breakdown or, like, something, you know? And then he was just, I feel like he just didn't even really care much throughout, like, the whole entire book. And even with the whole affair thing and whatnot, like, he was just like, okay, bye. I don't know, it was just very weird. Again, I think maybe it ties back to the weird family dynamic. Maybe is why he was kind of, like, emotionless, I guess, but it was strange.
Because even, like, Boney, the detective on the case, had mentioned, like, you've been inappropriate. You haven't been showing the correct emotions. And that's an interesting play on, like, human emotion in itself.
Right.
It's like, even if he did it, if he did act that way, it would have been forced, and then they would have called him out on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he doesn't act in a way, then they call him out on that.
So he's not, like, acting out enough, yeah.
Yeah, so either way, he was kind of stuck in this, like, eternal pull of, like, you aren't enough.
Yeah, like, he can't do anything right, basically.
Yeah. This is a random thing, but on the podcast this last year, I have read, I think, like, 18 to something books. What are we in? October? No, September,
yeah.
So, 2 months, 18 books, yeah. Almost all of them have a character named Nick in it. I think there was, like, maybe 4 or 5 that didn't, but this is the worst Nick. Okay?
He's pretty bad.
The worst Nick out of all of them. But it's just, like, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
Are all the books had a Nick in it. And when I opened this book and it said Nick Dunn, I was like, are you kidding me right now?
You can't have a different name.
Come on, guys. There's more names than just Nick.
Gotta be a little bit more creative, people.
At least go by, like, Nicholas or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so instantly I was like, I don't like it. Yeah. His name is Nick. So the first thing I want to talk about is, again, Nick's point of view. Obviously, we get, in the first half of the book, we get Nick's point of view and then Amy's diaries and entries. And then the second part of the book, we get Nick and Amy's point of view present day. Interesting setup, interesting narrative to go with, because we know as readers, again, that Nick didn't do this.
Right.
So it sets up a whole mindset for your readers that there's something at play here. Like, something's going on that just doesn't connect.
Right.
Obviously, with Amy's diary, it's easy to fall under her trap because we don't know who Amy is except from Nick's point of view. But I think as the story goes on, Amy's image in his mind changes. Almost holds her hand through the book where it's like, okay, Amy isn't who she says she is.
Yeah.
So I think that was just very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, she did a really good job of, like, highlighting, like, the good parts of Amy. And then, yeah, you kind of fall for, you know, Nick and Amy as a couple or whatever. And then slowly as time goes on, there's just little moments that unravel about Amy, and you're like, okay, there's something more going on here.
Yeah.
So I thought that was nicely done, how it kind of alluded to what was actually happening. So
yeah, I think this book definitely heavily requires you to think one way about Amy, so that way the surprise is a little bit more there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do have a missed opportunity, which we'll do when we get there, that how I would have introduced the book, in my own opinions, but...
Go off, queen.
So, the public image of this book, I was looking at reviews for this book, and it was very polar opposite. People either love this book or people hate this book. I think the biggest complaint was the length of this book.
Yeah.
Was, like, the biggest thing I could find. So this is the first thing I've ever read by her. And they were saying, like, this is a masterpiece. This is her number one books. And then there were some people that was like, why was this book ever written? So I just want to know, like, what's your gauge? Like, where are you in that
range? Honestly, I'm not there. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, there were things I mean, obviously we kind of talked about, there's things I really liked, but then also things I wasn't crazy about. And one of the main one being the length and how things were drawn out. So I would say I'm, like, slightly more on the like side, but pretty neutral, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't feel like I'm one way or another.
Yeah, I feel like if she even shaved off maybe 50 pages and just take out all that random excerpts that didn't matter, I think it would have changed a lot of people's opinions on it. And I know a lot of people come from, like, the movie and then come into the book. I think once you see it from, like, a visual aspect, it changes as well, because you really get to see Nick's, like, emotionlessness. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a word, but...
Mm-hmm. It is now.
It is now. You get to see him act it out, and, like, the smile when he does, like, the missing person, like, the very first day mm-hmm. she's gone. When I saw it, I was like, oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
It makes sense now. I didn't understand it when he was reading that smile, and I was mm-hmm. like, okay, that definitely changes some things.
Yeah, the movie definitely helps visualize those things, that mm-hmm. it's harder to, you know, reading it.
Yeah. Okay, just for a second. Imagine your parents... Okay. Imagine your parents writing a story about you as a character who has formed a much better life from all of your failed accomplishments.
Yeah. all I can say is no wonder why she was so messed up, honestly.
Yeah. So her parents, Amy's parents, had wrote a whole series called The Adventures of Amazing Amy?
Yeah, it was something like that. Like Amazing Amy or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And it literally all about everything that Amy did as she was growing up and failed to do, she accomplished. She joined volleyball and she quit after one season, but... Amazing Amy went to varsity or something.
Mm-hmm.
And to have your character literally named after your daughter, it's just wild.
Yeah, it's very just weird and, I mean, hurtful, right?
Yeah. So I think that sets up a lot of Amy's character because she has so much expectations mm-hmm. of her that, because normally your parents are like, you know, you did a good job. Mm-hmm. And they never really say that they are not proud of you, usually.
Yeah.
But they straight up say it to her face. Like, you failed your test. You're going to see that in the next chapter of Amazing.
Yeah, it's like just making fun of after everything she, like, messed up or whatever. And then making a profit off of it,
yeah.
too. Which is, like, just so sick and twisted. And so yeah. I don't blame her for being a psycho.
I mean, it definitely sets up for the rest. And, like, obviously she got a trust fund from it.
Yeah.
But then
her
family going broke, so they had to take all that money from her.
Mm-hmm.
And the one good thing I got from this, you took from me. And obviously I'm going to give it to you because you're my parents. But, yeah, I think that definitely helps support her mindset of it. Because she's a child at that point when all this is happening.
Right.
So it explains how it plays into her life mm-hmm. and how it plays into her future. Like, she literally got engaged because the character got engaged. I don't know. It was crazy and it's such an interesting take on the story.
Yeah.
So who would you say in this one is your favorite character?
Good question. I personally really liked Go, or Margot, I guess.
Margot,
she'd probably be my favorite, just because I feel like I connected with her, because obviously she was there to, like, support her brother and, like, with everything he was going through, but she also wasn't afraid to speak her mind and kind of put him in his place, and,
mm-hmm.
like, when she found out about the whole girl he was seeing on the side and she lit him a new one, I was like, yes. And so, and she didn't like Amy from day one, but then the fact that she was able to stand up to him about those certain things, I just identified with her, so I would say she was my favorite.
Yeah, she was definitely blindsided, just as much as everybody else mm-hmm. was. Even though she was being blindsided, she supported mm-hmm. her brother the entire time. You know, he always said, like, did you believe that I killed Amy? And she's like, I can't answer that. It doesn't matter which way I believe, I'm going to support you no matter what,
because mm-hmm.
you're my brother.
Yeah.
For a little bit there, that at the beginning, that Margot was in it,
mm-hmm.
maybe she's the one that killed Amy,
mm-hmm.
but that was quickly debunked. Yeah, no, I really liked her too.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely helped a lot.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, I have a favorite character, and then I have an honorable mention.
Okay.
So my honorable mention is, I liked Amy.
Yeah.
I think she was a very thought-out character.
She was.
You have to be incredibly smart to do what she does.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, at the end of the book, which we'll talk about in a second, she got very sloppy. She still came out on top, and she still outsmarted everyone, but she got sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool to see a character that is so well thought out, so dynamic, to slip up and mm-hmm. show that they make mistakes too. They are flawed characters. And being able to see that even though her plan didn't work, she thought of a way out. She mm-hmm. thought of a loophole.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's just very smart, interesting. It's just crazy that she's very, like, you don't know anything of her before the diary.
Right.
And you have to just pick up what she gives you. And mm-hmm. even what she gives you might not be true. Exactly. So
take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly, yeah. So I thought she was very well thought out, well-rounded character. Mm-hmm. My favorite character is obviously Bleecker.
Yes.
You know, he was the star of the show, okay? He was the one that started everything. If he didn't get outside, he's a cat, by the way. If he didn't get outside and then that old man didn't call, mm-hmm. none of this would have happened.
Exactly. So, Bleecker.
I will say that it's kind of messed up that Bleecker wasn't in it more.
Yeah, I feel like they just, like, mentioned him a couple times, and it's like he never existed after that.
Yeah, he was in it more in the movie, honestly.
True.
He was always like, oh, do you hungry? And then he always fed him, but...
Well, and then, like, yeah, the one argument about, are they getting cat litter or something?
Oh, cat food, yeah.
I feel like most of their fights, like, stemmed about cat things.
Yeah, something so easy they fought over.
I know.
Honestly, Bleecker's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth being fought over.
Of course.
I don't know. I liked Amy, I think, the most, which yeah. is sad to say because she is so diabolical, but mm-hmm. I did like her. Just gonna take a second here to shout out the Patreon subscribers.
Woo! Alright, so shout out to Nick W., Bree P., Jack J., Cody H., Patrick C., Emily P., Janeth P., Tim M., Ashley A., and Lulu.
Thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast. It means the absolute world to me. I enjoy doing this, and I'm glad that, you know, a couple people are listening to it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you guys want to be part of the Patreon shout out, head over to Patreon and subscribe today. A random little tidbit. This is just completely random. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the book, we're finding out about Nick and the treasure hunt that mm-hmm. Amy always does, which honestly is super cute. I think it's really cute that she does that. Even though he has absolutely no idea any of the answers to them.
Yeah.
And he makes a comment. He says he has a dash of ADD, so he isn't able to remember anything about their marriage. I was like, sir.
Yeah, sounds like a bunch of BS to me.
Yeah, that's kind of like right when I was like, okay, I don't like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally like 10 pages in, he says that, and I'm like, bad vibes. I don't like it.
Yeah, pretty sure there's plenty of people, you know, that have ADD that remember plenty of things about the person they're married to and their relationship, so.
Exactly. If you don't remember, write it down and then study it right before your anniversary so you're
yes,
ready for this.
Yes.
This treasure hunt that she spends a lot of time on.
And mark your calendar with your anniversary date yeah. so you don't forget.
Does it ever tell us when their anniversary was? Like the day of?
I want to say it was July, because she goes missing. I thought it was July 5th.
Okay.
And that was the morning of their anniversary. I'm pretty sure that was it, but I could be wrong, so.
You know what? I'm going to take your word for it.
Okay.
Sounds good. I trust you.
Okay, cool.
I want to talk about Jeff and Greta yeah. really quick. What are your thoughts first before I say mine?
Fell for their trap, I guess. Because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, like, they seem, like, cool and nice or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are still good people, but I think when you're in that situation and, I mean, you get desperate to get money and whatever, so you have to go to extremes. But I definitely was not expecting them to rob her and stuff, so that yeah. was a twist for sure.
No,
so.
I definitely agree. That was, like, the moment when she started to get sloppy. One, she said her name was Lisa or Lucy.
Yeah, it was something L, yeah.
Yeah, and then she told Greta that her name was Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why would you slip up and say that you have a different name mm-hmm. when you should be have a one persona here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy for her to talk to the front desk and be like, you know, I was talking to Nancy, and she's like, who's Nancy? Her with her money pouch and always seeing it. Also, her in the pool was interesting
because
mm-hmm. they would scan that pool looking for something.
Yeah.
And she just went swimming and was like, I'm here. Yeah, when she had her money pouch and they obviously would see that money pouch, when they came in that first day and they started scouting out the area of like, oh, we need to corner her some way. Let's go in and like scout it out.
Yeah.
I just felt like there was a little bit more potential there. I feel mm-hmm. like they could have played those characters a little bit more, a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The catfishing scene also, it still gets me. I'm confused. Like, it just sets up the show that he's a thief. Which, for mm-hmm. Jillian, I feel like she wouldn't just put something so obvious right in front of us.
Right.
It felt a little bit like a segue just to get Desi back into the story and have a reason for her to crawl back to him.
Yeah.
Because Desi's a huge part of the story.
Oh, for sure.
So I just think there's a little bit more potential there, but maybe that feeds into her getting a little sloppy? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Also, it's like, I don't know, being in that situation is like, I would not trust anybody.
Exactly.
Like, you're out for yourself, like, and that's that. So the fact that she, like, let them in and, like, became too trusting with them, I was surprised by too. Yeah, I mean, they just took advantage of her, obviously, and whatnot, but... Yeah, I was surprised she, like, let them in her life, and...
I think it was a lot of Amy thinking that she could manipulate them as she's manipulated anybody.
Yeah, right.
But they outsmarted her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was even watching, what was that show? Ellen something.
Oh, yeah, the special about, that her. She was featured on.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but...
Yeah, it starts with an A, I think, her last name.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
They were watching the Ellen show. Okay, when I say Ellen show,
not like Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah. A different Ellen. Oh my gosh, it sounds like we're back in It Starts With Us.
Right, I know. Dear Ellen.
Dear Ellen. Go listen to It Ends With Us and It Starts With Us for that reference. Watching that with her in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so sloppy for her.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, no, we're changing that. Beep, beep.
Yeah, because it clearly shows her picture and stuff. Very weird.
So, who would you say in this book is your favorite relationship?
Good question. It's not, like, a hard favorite for me, but I think the one I liked the most was Nick and Go, even with the weird comments, or Margo, just because of she was really in his corner, and that was, like, the one relationship that kind of, like, stood out for me, and then the other ones, I'm like, I don't really know if I have, like, a second favorite, because I feel like they're all, like, so, like, messed up in some way, but that also can be, you know, why it's a favorite, too, with how twisted it is, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, they just stayed very constant throughout, like, even from the beginning, she was always supportive, and I liked how she was, like, a constant person, like, he could count on, and she would, like, show up for him, I guess, so.
No, I definitely agree. I think they're the most structured relationship there. Mm-hmm. I definitely wish there was a little bit more of their childhood, because they make, like, offhand comments, because their dad has Alzheimer's, and their mom passed away from breast cancer, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we really get of their relationship, pretty much, you know, Nick's dad, very misogynistic. We really don't get a lot about their past, and I would have loved to see more of even flashbacks or mentions of their childhood.
Right.
I think that would have gave us more on not only their relationship, but also Nick's past, to see if this is how he's always been, or is it something that happened after he got with Amy? Mm-hmm. Like, I would have loved to see a little bit more.
Yeah, because I know they, like, kind of had some mentions about his dad especially, but there could have been a lot more included in there to give us a bigger picture of why he is the way that he is, so.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I definitely agree they're the most... substantial.
Mm-hmm.
The ones with the most substance.
Yeah.
I said my favorite relationship was no one. I didn't like any relationship in this book. I never really connected with any of them in that level. I will say my, probably the closest one is Detective Boney with this job. Like, her dedication to this case. She really cared, and she really wanted to not only solve it, but to show that Nick didn't do it. Because she firmly believed that he did it. Not at the beginning, but as evidence came up, she knew that there was something off. She knew Amy wasn't who she said she was.
Right.
I loved her in the movie. I think the actress that played her did an amazing job and was, like, the perfect fit for her.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I really liked Boney. I just instantly trusted her, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I did, too.
Also, a little tidbit, I'm glad that it was a woman that was doing
agreed.
Retired of men.
Yep.
Detectives.
Exactly. Yeah, women can be detectives, too.
Heck yeah. So, let's talk about the ending, shall we?
Let's do
it. Spoilers! So, obviously, the ending of the book, we have Desi's murder, we have Amy coming home, the pregnancy, and, like, how she manipulates him still.
Mm-hmm.
How were your feelings at the end of the book? Did you feel kind of cheated out of Nick's release of Amy? Did it make sense that they stayed together?
It definitely made sense. I wish it ended differently, yes, but... Mm-hmm. For his character, it made sense of why it ended the way that it did. He definitely seemed more passive to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't shocked that he was just like, all right, well, I'm just going to put up with her It's just so messed up. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I was just like trying to like wrap my mind around like how I wanted to express like how I feel about it. I'm like, I don't know, because it's just so messed up. But
Do you want to give us like a short little summary of what happens at the very end?
Yeah. Basically, she kills Desi, and then that's like her way to come back. And she shows up at their house one day and rings the doorbell, and Nick opens up the door and he's like, oh,
hey.
And then she like goes and hugs him, which I'm like, weird.
Well, she's trying to play the part of a kidnapped wife.
Exactly.
Because she tries to frame Desi
for kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she explains her side of what apparently happened. And so they kind of, like, agree to work things out, I guess.
Kind of, yeah.
Then she drops the bomb of, like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant.
And he's like, wait a second.
He's like, you've been, like, missing, and we haven't, like, slept together, so how does that work out?
Yeah.
He left a sample, and she took the sample and got herself pregnant, and then he really felt like he had to stay with her, because now she's having his son, and he doesn't want their son to fall for the traps, I guess, that he fell for.
Honestly, it sounds bad to say, but the scene where she is being interrogated by the cops was good. She led them right into her hands and was feeding them. And she was like, why are you making me feel like a suspect when I'm a victim and bad at your job? And they're like, you know what? You got me. I'm done. And they just dropped the case. But Boney still wants to solve the case. She's like, no, this is not solved yet. Absolutely wild how she... Even, like, putting the hair in the back of Desi's car, like, she thought of everything. And it just shows her dedication to the bit, you know? And she gets away with all of it. She literally murdered a guy and gets away with it. A guy that was in love with her, wanted to protect her. There's a whole thing where, like, after she loses her money, she pretty much begs him for money, and he's like, no, you can come live in my lake house, whatever it is, and then she kills him. Yeah, the pregnancy, and, like, imagine going through that, and inside, outside, either way, Margot was probably, like, freaking out, like, she's stuck with this sister-in-law and a nephew that doesn't want to, like, need to be in Nick's life, but it's just stuck now. It's just wild to think. I wonder if they would ever make a sequel of this.
That would be super interesting. I know. I'd watch it.
I'll read it.
Yeah, like, I want to know how twisted this kid ends up. Like,
oh my god, yeah.
The whole relationship is just so messed up. Yeah, so toxic. And so, not even, like, I don't even think toxic. I think that's, like...
Nuclear.
Yeah,
that's what exactly. They kept saying, a nuclear family.
A nuclear family, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would love to see how he turns out.
I just can't comprehend, like, how their relationship continues if they act like there's nothing wrong. It's just wild to me. Oh my god, Andy.
Andy!
I forgot, we didn't even talk about her. And that's like the sad thing is that she was, during the time that it was going on with the investigation, she was very important. But in the overall spectrum, she wasn't that important.
No.
Because he really, like, he loved her to the extent that he didn't love his wife anymore. But in the end, when he had to just break things off, he really didn't feel anything. He literally said, like, you know, this wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. And this whole thing happened because of his affair with Andy, his student.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But that was another reason why I didn't like him. But we won't get into all that.
Yeah, and I felt bad for him. Or not bad for him. Not bad for him. I felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could tell she generally cared for him, I thought. But then also, like, why are you still coming around, like, after... I mean, one, why the affair in the first place? But then, why are you still coming around after you find out, like, oh, like, he might have killed his wife. And then she just keeps showing up and then wants his attention and whatnot. Like, if that were me, I'd be like, oh, dude, I'm just, like, not gonna talk to you ever again.
Yeah.
Because like, you may be a murderer.
Like, she knew that he had a husband. Or...
Sorry.
That would have changed the whole story. She knew that he had a wife.
Right.
You know, she was also playing into it. Obviously, she's much younger than he is, but she is also a part of this whole thing. Like, she is also a consenting adult and stuff. So, it's really hard. I feel bad for her, but I also, like, don't feel bad. I'm glad that she got out of it. I'm glad that Amy didn't do anything to her. Because, in the end, it is mostly his fault. Because he's exactly. the one that's in a committed relationship. So, right. I'm glad that nothing happened to her. But, oh my gosh. I forgot about her after she left.
Poor Andy.
Poor Andy. She deserved more.
Yeah, she did.
Do you want to play a game?
Let's do it.
All right. So I have some lists of events that happen throughout the book. Okay. And you are going to put them in order of when they appeared chronologically. Because diary entries are obviously backspace.
Right.
So whenever it gets revealed in the book.
Okay. First I have Crepes for Breakfast, aka the morning of the 5th anniversary. And then I have a disposable problem, finding out about Andy and the affair. And then I have eating for two, kinda. Amy being pregnant, in quotation marks. Then I have a well-thought-out lie, aka learning that Amy is alive and her plan. Then I have fishing without a rod, and that's when Jeff and Amy steal fish. And I have tricking the trickster, Nick's interview with Sharon Scheiber. And then the cost of being lovesick, Desi's murder, then Amy coming home, and then the last, I have the last word, and due date in the 6th anniversary.
Yep, you win!
Oh, yay!
You got all of them!
Yay! I thought I misplaced a couple. I was not very confident.
No, you did it!
Okay, perfect.
So what are some things that you would have done differently, would have changed if you were writing this book? This is just purely your own opinion, your own words.
Ending, I would have done it differently. Although I understand why it ended the way it did, but I feel a little twisted saying this, but I feel like I would have ended it by, like, Nick, like, killing Amy or something. I don't know. Like, something juicier I felt like should have happened. So I'd be like, okay, like, let's just be whatever. So that's one of them. And then two, getting more insight into Nick and Margot's past, and adding more there, and then cutting out stuff that was kind of irrelevant and didn't really matter. Those are probably my three things that would change, I would say.
To bounce off the Nick killing Amy one, I honestly thought he was, because mm-hmm. he felt such hatred for this mm-hmm. woman, and that's why you can see how emotionless he is to the end of the book, because he just drops it
mm-hmm.
and he becomes very passive and mm-hmm. just follows her lead on everything. I was like, is he gonna, like, set up where he actually kills, and then you see him later in jail and he's like, I killed my wife, because he actually did it.
Yeah,
I was very surprised that he didn't. I feel like that's one way it definitely could have ended. He turns out exactly who Amy said that he would.
Yep.
And she still had a hold on him until the end.
Yep.
So I think that would have been a better of an ending.
Mm-hmm. Same. That's what I, like, personally thought, like, wanted, I guess.
Yeah.
I know it sounds toxic, but.
Yeah. I mean, for a story.
Exactly.
It would have been a good ending.
Yeah.
I only had really one thing that I think would have changed the whole story is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of following Nick's point of view. It didn't make sense to me, because I guess Jillian, I can't speak for her, but she wants you to believe that Nick didn't do it. But I think for a mystery, psychological thriller, whatever it is, it would make more sense for us not to know if he did it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sit there speculating. I want to know if he did it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we clearly know that he didn't.
Right.
So I would have started with Nick already at the police station.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already being interrogated, and we're picking up right where the detectives are picking up, mm-hmm. honestly. It takes away that motive of, like, didn't do it. It's, mm-hmm. did Nick do it the entire time? And I also think having a point of view of a detective, if Detective Boney got a point of view, I think would be another way where you could kind of twist it to think, well, did he do it or
mm-hmm.
not.
Yeah.
Because obviously they shared a lot of evidence with Nick, but they didn't share everything with
right.
Nick. Right. So having Boney's point of view would have been very, very intriguing. So,
I agree.
I think me and you need to write this book.
Let's do it. Let's do, like, a spinoff. Yeah. We'll have his son commit some crime and then...
Oh, God. God, I'm just trying to imagine, like, Amy as your mom. Like, yes. You can't lie about anything.
Mm-mm.
You can't do anything to try to sneak past her, because she's already three steps ahead of you.
Yeah, and do her wrong, she's already going to be plotting
your demise.
Her revenge against you. Even if you're her own son, she probably wouldn't care.
Oh, yeah, no. I cannot imagine Amy changing her lifestyle at all for her mm-mm. son. She's too...
Too much of a sociopath.
Yeah, she's too self-centered and stuff.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately... it is time for us to leave.
No.
I know. But before we go, we do one last thing. We do the rating scale. But we do it a little bit different here on the Book Stop. We make up our own thing. So I would give Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn 5 years of thought out scavenger hunts for an ungrateful spouse out of 10.
I love that so much.
If it was a little bit more of a mystery on Nick's side, we didn't get so much information, mm-hmm. I would have liked it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Mysteries are not really my favorite because I've read a lot of books, mm-hmm. and I usually can figure it out before.
Pretty quickly.
I suspected that she was still alive. The only thing that really got me was, again, the diary, mm-hmm. Because it was very... pulls the rug out from under your feet. It was okay. It wasn't like, I need to read this right now as soon as I'm done. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a few years I'll pick it back up. For what it was trying to do, it delivered on that aspect. If you wanted a shocker, it got you in mm-hmm. some parts.
Yeah. I'll give it 6 very descriptive fake diaries out of 10.
It was so thought out.
Yes. For the most part, I did generally enjoy it. I liked different twists it had. It also kind of was predictable, and I had seen the movie, so like that also, I feel like if I hadn't seen the movie, maybe I would have enjoyed it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's more that could have been done with it, but.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You will be back on next year. I think you're scheduled for like early next year, maybe mid next year.
Yeah, I want it sometime in the spring, maybe? I'm not sure.
But you will absolutely be back on. Yay. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, thank you so much. I cannot wait for our next one.
Me too. Bye.
Thank you for turning the pages with us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, show your support by leaving a review, sharing the episode, and following the podcast on Instagram at thebookstoppodcast. Join us on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. Thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Hope you are too.